We are recording.
All right. This is May 26 at 10:30 a.m. and the meeting is the Finance Committee meeting for the AOG Steering Committee. And first we'll have our welcome, which is thank you all for being here. Do I need to say who's present or will that be in the minutes?
You can go ahead and say it. That way I can help. That way I don't have to mark it down.
Okay, everyone go around and say your name, please.
Commissioner Jerry Taylor, Garfield County.
Commissioner Gil Onquist, Washington County.
Commissioner Paul Cousins, Iron County.
Allison McCoy, five counties.
Gary, five county association governments. Zabriskie,
Jen Wong, five county association governments.
Brian Theriot, five county.
Thank you so much. And currently absent is Commissioner Wade Hollingshead. So the first item after that is the discussion on the fringe benefits and cost allocation plan for fiscal year 2024, which begins July 1st, 2023, and goes to June 30th, 2024. And that will be presented by Brian and Allison.
Yeah. So five county, our fiscal year is aligned with the state and cities, and of course counties are January to December, and so we just kind of get that background. The purpose of the finance meeting is to kind of go over all the agenda items here, and then once we kind of get feedback from the county commissioners, then Allison's able to start putting together the budget so we can be ready to go July 1.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just wanted to add that Five County has no property tax, and we have no bonding or regulatory authority. So we're really just based off of grants and county contributions that the counties.
That was a big deal when Sixth County got their new building. So people were complaining that they were getting all grant, but really the county associations, we don't have any taxing authority. We're totally based upon just being a grant. Yeah.
And speaking of that, let me just thank you and the CIB board for giving us the grant for the remodeling and safety improvements and that at our building. It was out for bid. We had two contractors come to the mandatory bid meeting. They are bidding on the project. The bids will be opened on the 6th of June, and hopefully shortly thereafter we can start our project to make those improvements.
Who are the contractors?
We have Precision out of Cedar City, which is Dennis Gray, and the other one was, help me here, the...
Bud Mahas.
Mahas. So.
And nobody else.
I did contact about 14 contractors, and about 7 of them responded back to me saying that we'd love to bid in the future, but right now we're too busy with other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was interest, but these two said that
they're both very good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is the interior remodel.
Yeah,
just the front
and an outside climate control storage building.
Yeah.
Behind the building.
Yeah.
So
figured for village and stuff.
So. More like the insured liquid protein drinks. That's what it is actually for.
We need a lot of space for that.
Yes.
Got it. Well, good job.
But thank you, Commissioner.
All right, Allison.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you. So I'll just go through these one by one. They're the same. And the good thing about the fringe benefits this year is that they're either the same or lower in the rate than last year.
How does that happen?
I don't know. It just happens. It's a miracle. Social Security remains the same. Utah state retirement on gross salaries remains unchanged. Unchanged for all the different tiers. Workers' comp has gone down just slightly. Our workers' comp rate. And this year I included the effective rate because, you know, we have a rate on our bill, like the 0.0155.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a lot of discounts based upon our performance and all of that. And so
that's
the effective rate. So that's the effective rate of that you times by salaries to come up with our costs.
So. Your mod, you have a mod rate, right?
Modified rate, yeah. So.
Well, that probably went down because a lot of what you see is a trickle down average, and when everybody stayed at home in their pajamas, no one was getting hurt.
Right, exactly.
And so now it's trickling in, so. Because there was just less claims.
Exactly. Yeah, now all those health problems that we got while we were sitting around in our pajamas.
Yeah. Explain that on workers' comp.
That's true.
Pajama injury.
What would happen
if you had a Zoom meeting, right?
Yeah, if you tripped at home in your pajamas, I don't know. Is that a workers' comp claim?
If you're at work.
Well, if you're at work, that's what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
That brings up an interesting point.
Well, it's just like a field worker, you know, on a construction site or anything else, they still cover, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry.
That's fine. And then unemployment insurance went from 0.007 to 0.06. The salary deferral programs remain unchanged. Holidays are the same, 13 paid holidays per year. Vacation sick leave, 4 hours per pay period, which is, so that's 8 hours per month. And pay for performance remains in effect by supervisory oversight. We are asking for a 7% proposed cost of living adjustment, same as last year. Our indirect cost rate went from 13.12 to 12.3. And that's based, I don't know if you guys, you know, studied the formula in depth, but it's on page, I don't know, it's this page, which you know, it's really hard to read. But anyway.
Just 1 second, Allison.
Chair Wade just texted me that he had another meeting come up. They conflicted this, so. Asked if he needed a quorum, and I said no, but FYI.
Yes. So, in a nutshell, we take our audited statement from FY22. So the end of FY22, which is June 30th of 22, and we take those audited salaries and fringe totals for all the departments, and we add those up and we divide that by we divide in that into our total admin costs. So that creates our indirect cost rate for the next year. So there's like a 1 year lag behind on that. So what that indicates in it, with it going down, is that our admin costs were less, or our salaries and fringe that we apply that rate to are more. So we actually got a lot more grants, had a lot more workers, not a lot, but you know, an incremental increase. So that's how that's calculated each year.
But that didn't require additional admin. I mean, in other words, that's why that admin percentage went down slightly, is because more services provided, but it didn't take a new supervisor for that administratively.
Right, right. So the admin cost, yeah, is spread less over that. So but that's basically, if there's any questions on how that's calculated.
And I don't know, what is the projected overall COLA for the fiscal year 23-24?
For FY 2024?
Yeah, 23-24. So this next
start
coming up here,
yes, 7%.
I mean, what I'm asking is, I see it's a 7% proposed COLA. How did you arrive at that number?
Social Security was 6.85.
It was 8 point something.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 8.65, you're right.
Historically, we've gone to the Social Security raises that they do. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, you know, forever 2%, and then last year it was around 6%. Mm-hmm. This year it's 8%. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of split the difference there.
Okay. All right. And I see. So it was a 2.5 for 21, and then 7% for 22, which is lower than the actual, I remember. And then they're thinking that it will still continue to be 7% for the upcoming year, too. Can I ask you on G, it says vacation and sick leave, 4 hours per pay period. And then I heard, thought I heard you say per month. Is the pay period?
8 hours per month. We pay bi-monthly.
Okay, thank you.
So basically one day a month. Except for those like Jen who works 12 hours a day. That's only 3 weeks. Okay.
Yes,
sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, do you can ask?
I think
the
I was finished. Okay, so then let's just go to the insurance. This year we shopped our insurance because they came in. Select Health came in at a 12%, 12.96% increase. So we shopped through that. We looked at Blue Cross, Regents. We looked at United Healthcare. And is it not PEHP?
Who's
the, oh, yeah, PEHP. Okay, so we looked at four different insurance carriers. We ultimately settled on United Healthcare, who had a 2%, it would be a 2% decrease in our insurance. We looked at the plan. The plan was extremely similar to what we have now. There was only like one difference. The copays were actually less. The providers were 98% of what we currently have with Select Health. And so we decided to go with United. And then Select Health came back and said, we don't want to lose your business, so we'll give you...
It went to nine.
Nine, but then didn't they ultimately go down for
4.9.
4.9.
We felt like we were being gamed. Why didn't they give us at the beginning?
Yeah.
And final.
So, and then Regents, and then United gave us like a $20,000 implementation credit, and then Regents wanted to give us $70,000, but their increase was like 3%. So it was kind of like a...
It was a long, drawn-out game.
Yeah, experience. So ultimately, we're at United, which is about a 2% decrease in our cost.
Right. Well, Select Health, despite going down, we're still high, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, that's good, because their new logo stinks.
It's not
Had they just
good
came
as
in initially with their final and best that they would ever do for us, which is what they eventually said, that, you know, that 4.9, we probably would have stayed with them, because it's not easy to switch over to another insurance broker, but it felt like we were being really
jacked
down the road. So we'll see what, a year from now, what United, how they've been for us.
Yeah.
And see what the increase might be next year. So
yeah, I gave a formal protest to Brian. I was just kind of kidding him, but
And kind of not.
Yeah.
But Select Health, the way they charged it, so we pay, as employees, we pay 11% of the premium. So United has different categories. So, of course, the single with children and the single goes up, and the families and the couples go down. So I said, once again. So anyway, us single people are paying actually more than we were, but that's just because the categories shift, not because we're paying more insurance. But
yeah,
anyway, that's just a side note.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be jacked? That's what you just said.
Play around.
Gaming us, yeah.
But it also means that if you're a bodybuilder and have a lot of muscles, that you are jacked.
You know, if you want to read a compliment to everything, go ahead.
No, I guess, right? I love our idiomatic expression.
Could we ask, just out of curiosity, who the counties are with for your PHP and Select Health?
Select Health, PHP.
Okay.
I have yet to have them pay for one thing. Select Health.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So.
We have a $5,000 deductible. $6,000
so
deductible.
Yeah.
Could you hit that?
No.
Yeah. What's
ER?
It's all planned that way.
And then every time you have a prescription, the doctor prescribes, they don't cover that one. They have a generic one that they like. And to me, that's, or they don't cover that.
You have to have the doctor prescribe it as medically necessary when it is prescribed through the pharmacy. And then when the pharmacy fills it, it'll put it in that cheaper tier as a generic, even though it is the name brand. But the doctor has to use...
I need to talk to you more often.
The doctor has to use that specific term that it's being prescribed as medically necessary.
Well, because I always wondered about that. If the doctor prescribes one thing and your insurance says, no, you can't use that, you have to use this.
Right.
You end up,
yeah.
You know, not having the same type of effect or whatever. Could they be liable for that?
And prescriptions have gone very expensive through Select Health. We've had multiple people come in and say that their prescriptions had doubled from December to January and then kind of stayed, and then March and April they doubled again.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so a prescription that we paid for last year in December was about $15. I just paid $50 for a 30-day refill. And if it would have been prescribed medically necessary, it probably would have been the $15 still.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I just wonder if we could add an acronym for the word Jack. We add that to our list. An acronym for Jack.
I think it should be part of our everyday vocabulary when we're talking about bodybuilding.
All right.
Sorry, chair.
Just because you've got a new chair doesn't mean we can talk the whole time. Okay, so that's all I have, and I think I mentioned that the employee does 11% of the total insurance premium.
Yeah.
And so I've broken that out by the total cost, what the employee contributes and what the Fife County.
And family coverage for a year.
I won't be taking any blame if this takes more than an hour, Gil.
I know, $28,000 for a family coverage.
26,
of which,
it's a,
well, what you pay, 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not necessary.
Yeah.
Where's my gavel?
Okay, next.
Oh,
our bill's around $90,000 a month.
Yeah. Did you go over dental?
Looks like it didn't change. Well, yeah, dental didn't change. Vision didn't change.
Yeah.
And then we have the employee assistance program. Will we still have that? That's through Select Health. I don't know.
No, that's through IHC.
Oh, through IHC.
Yeah,
and
so
we have that, and there's also an additional EAP plan that's included with United Healthcare.
Oh,
so
okay.
Employees can get up to 8 sessions now by utilizing both of those plans. And they have a legal and financial piece as well.
Okay.
That's good. Nice.
Yeah, and then we talked about indirect costs. I think that's it. I think that's me. But I'm complacent. Any questions on any of that?
No, thank you.
I make a motion to approve the fringe benefits plan for fiscal year 2024.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. So now we're going to look at the approval of the cost allocation plan for fiscal year 2024. I guess I talked about that early, but that is basically the way that the administration is run for Fife County, with the contributions from the county for the matches that we need for our grants. So
it says this cost allocation plan.
The cost allocation plan.
And what's OMB?
The
Office of Management and Budget.
Yeah, the uniform code.
Okay.
Over on the third page, let me just bring them up, is not all of them are fixed amounts. Some are set specifically by the contract. It's on that like third page of the plan. And so some of them, they tell us, they dictate to us from the federal government, and that primarily you can only have this much for admin on there. So Allison has to have a spreadsheet that is real. It's remarkable how she can balance or juggle those numbers. But she has to take each what each contract allows for the indirect costs and put that into the formula, and then some are set as like 9%, 10% by the grant. But it's just, and it changes every year. They dictate what that indirect can be, the maximum can be. So.
Mm-hmm. And some of the grants that don't allow for indirect costs are paid for by other grants that are matching grants. So we do tend to recoup our 12% during the year. So there are some that is not recouped, but.
As was mentioned earlier, it should be a lot easier if we did have a mill levy or something on the tax, so we wouldn't have to beg and borrow from grants to do this, and the grants could be used for what they really should be, is providing services to people, not paying for the administration programs. But that doesn't exist in this world, so the grants have to pay for everything.
I'd like an aging waiver. Can we get a pill?
Let me talk to Carrie about that.
The thing about the aging waivers, they tend to get old.
Yeah.
So that's even better than the Holmquist jokes.
Hey, I said earlier. I said earlier that Jones and DeMille really sank their teeth into that bid. For what? A dental edition. So you see, nobody got that. So I see.
I've been served.
But I like that.
He's pretty fast. He's a quick draw. There's no doubt about that. You're dead before you know it.
Well, I think we're good with that. I would like to talk at some point, because when I was looking it over everything.
Was the earlier motion to approve both together?
Which no, he just did the fringe.
So we haven't approved
this one.
Okay.
I'm not seeing this on the agenda, so I just want to bring it up now. We can add it to the agenda if we need to. It seemed like at one point I was looking at an increase of $18,000 for all of the counties except for poor Washington, which was,
I think that's after the other items.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're to approval of cost allocation plans for this year. And I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion carries unanimously. And now we're to the discussion items.
These larger ones around here.
Yeah, we all.
It's easier to see on our eyes. I printed them in 8.5 by 11 in the packet, but you can take this one back with you.
I like the color choice on that.
2 years ago, you want me to cover this? Because is that fine?
Two years ago,
we brought this to the board with the need to, after 20 plus years, to increase the local participation. It hadn't been increased in 20 years. Going back, whoever was in charge, it wasn't me, I'm sorry, but I brought this up to Brian, and we brought it to the commissioners and to the steering committee, to the commissioners first, but the need to incrementally increase this over time, not wait for 20 years and then all of a sudden say, look, we don't have enough local participation. This is used for, Allison, explain what the local match or local participation is.
For a lot of our grants need matches, local matches. The largest one is our economic development grant. It's $46,000 per year. We have COCS, which is Court Ordered Community Service, that we have been commissioned to do with that, and that's usually around $5,000 per year. There's just we match mobility management, we match human transportation program grants. Sometimes there's other matches within CSBG or COCS if there's a shortfall in match.
These fall under human services. These
ones you're talking about?
The first one's economic development, which is under the community economic development.
Right.
The human service ones would be if we needed to match the COCS, which is court ordered or community service. And it depends on the fees that we get in, how much we're going to match at the end of the year. It's around $3,000 to $6,000 that we're going to match with that. Mobility management.
For the COCS.
Yes, corridor community service. Mobility management and human transportation, which are in the transportation department, are a monthly match. And that's a percentage. It's usually about 10% of our draws for those months. So it turns out to be, I think the mobility is around $25,000. The human transportation is around $10,000 to $15,000.
But so, all of those are federal grants, and they require non-federal match, non-federal.
Yes, uh-huh.
So
non-federal
that limits
as long as they're not federal dollars, we have to have...
Can't match federal with federal.
So that's what our your participation and, goes for.
So 2 years ago, this board approved us using a formula with a fixed base amount that each county pays, and then a per capita above that to reach the amount, and the approved a incremental $5,000 a year increase. And of course that's subject to you folks making a determination. It's not on the agenda today, but there's no need for that today. If you wanted to make a change, it could be done between now and when you're budgeting for next fiscal year. This is well in advance. This is not going to be invoiced until January of next year, but I wanted to present this to you now so that you could have this information, so that when this fall time comes and you're budgeting for your county, that you could account for that.
And it's about $5,000 is what you're thinking?
Well, we went from the 130 to 135, so we're doing a $5,000 a year increase. Next year it'll be another $5,000 increase.
Per county?
No.
Just total. Overall
total.
Yeah. Overall, okay.
So it was $130,000 total.
The top part is what it was this last year that you got
increase
that you got invoiced in January of this year. The second one is proposed for what you'd be invoiced next January.
Washington County is here.
Okay.
And the increase is that far right column based on per capita. That's if we keep the base the same. You folks approved the base of being $17,500. Like I said, if you wanted to increase the base by $1,000 per county, then that would accomplish the same thing, but that would be ongoing that way. Just so you know, a majority of the aging services we do are in Washington County, because guess where most of the old people are?
They
didn't get the aging waiver, so... needless to say, that's why the increase by the per capita, if you look at the population, Washington County is where it's growing. Iron County's slowly growing, but not as fast. It is growing, but not to the extent of Washington County. And then the other three counties are growing, a little bit.
Well, maybe I'm just looking at this funny, but are you talking about this category here where it talks about per capita and who's paying more money per capita?
That is just showing that if you take the total that the county's going to pay, which would be like in your case in your county would be $18,891, that means per capita you're paying $2.30 per citizen.
Right, but what are you referring to? Are you talking about how come Washington County's paying more than the rest of us?
Is that because of the population, which is that second column over from the left side.
The batter. Your increase is $54. I said I would pay for it. You'll handle it properly.
Never mind.
Diet Coke.
But he's getting hammered on per capita, right?
I would recommend that we increase our per capita to 0.27 or 0.28. We're still less than half of the lowest one, which after us is Iron, which has the next biggest population. Anyway, the only reason being is that despite the fact that don't we have some costs for our building, and power and all that, are you dividing all of those things into everyone's portion of the bill?
That goes splits.
So this money is not used for admin. This is used for local match, for like those programs like I just talked about. So like,
anyway,
for example, for example, EDA was increased, so we got a new grant with EDA. Our match used to be $30,000 per year. Now it's $46,000. So that in and of itself is a $16,000 increase
right.
in match, and we're just increasing overall $5,000.
So to answer your question, to increase that per capita for your county, one way to do that would be to decrease the base amount across the board. So that means the other counties per capita would go down, and yours would go up. So that's how you would adjust the so that you would be paying more per capita. Right now it's because you have so many people. If you spread it across all those people, that's it. But on the other hand, your county has most of the services being provided by the programs that we use. So.
But why is Jerry's 361?
Because he only has 5,000.
Well, and that's going back to the same thing. It's because they're paying that $17,500 base. They're only paying an $893 based on population above that. But if you were to lower that base amount and let's mm-hmm. say take it down to $14,000, let's say, then their per capita, the population one wouldn't change much, but you're going to increase your numbers. So I'm happy to run that between now and the next meeting you have if you wanted to make some alterations in that. This is not anything that needs to be approved today, but I just wanted you to have this for a discussion purpose.
Just FYI.
Yeah. And I'd be happy to put, I've got the spreadsheet and I can just plug in different scenarios like I did before. Now, Commissioner Taylor was with us, I think Commissioner Cousins was. I think Holmquist, were you with us 2 years? Yeah, you were. We went through a bunch of different scenarios on the screen and you selected like scenario C or something like that. We had A through E. They had different formulas that came up with different. It was all to get to the same end, which is the 130,000.
Yeah, that's right.
The base amount is a Senate model, and the total population is a
House
of Representatives model. So, combined, they come up with a number, and I just think it's harder for Jerry to write a $17,500 check than it is for us, even though we're also writing a $51,000
check. It's the total per county is what you're paying.
If we have 70% of the population, do we have 70% of the cost? That's my question.
And with the formula that you folks selected, no, it's not. So, well, let me play with that, and I'll just send it out as a discussion item to you, and let you see different scenarios for the next. I'll get that up to you.
Do we use 75% in Washington County
services?
Yeah,
that are
80. Do we?
Only 70%.
But not of all the total services, just perhaps aging or
aging
human
and transportation
services.
Maybe. Iron County, you do get transportation, so you got the RPO up there.
So how about a weighted base amount? Like that's not equal. What if Washington County were 20,000, okay, and everyone else was 17,500 or 16? Do you have to have it a Senate model?
I just know it started out at 15 when I started here.
Across the board.
With every county. And the biggest line of discussion was that every county wanted to make sure that they're absolutely equal in everything. And so that's why it stayed that way. And then we started to look at like per capita because of the population,
right.
And so that's how it kind of came to this. But every single county wanted to make sure that their voice is equal.
Yeah,
If it got through Brinkerhoff, it's probably good. Because you know, if he was here, there'd be a different discussion today, especially with the cola.
It'll be the cost of the bread.
Yes, yes. But our services go, like, we go to every single county for all of these services, and so.
It gets really hard in a partnership like this to even quantify and define fair, just because there's so many variables and different ways to look at it. Like, you all giving less per capita, but if you weren't there giving your less per capita, which is still a larger amount than the rest of us, and actually managing some of these services, we would have nothing. As a smaller county, there wouldn't be any services. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So. Yeah.
In a similar way to the health department, mm-hmm. whereas if you didn't have Washington County's population and that funding, that, I mean, but you benefit in your county, and Garfield County benefits by having the services.
You know, it's symbiotic, counties, so. But it doesn't necessarily literally yeah. translate. Yeah. That's okay. Right, Gil?
All of our people that move out of Garfield go to Washington anyway.
But I have no problem if you want me to look at different scenarios of that and provide different things to look at.
Our way. And I would even venture to say that I wouldn't mind of paying more than our fair share. I'm just saying I don't want to underpay if all the other counties are coming up with money they shouldn't have to.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
We had a fight in CDBG over the amount of money that we're getting each year, remember? Our percentages and whatnot, Gary, when what's that been, 3 or 4 years ago? And how everybody, as soon as they started changing the formulas, they sucked a lot of money, or tried to suck a lot of money.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They were going to take it up to, well, they were going to take it from Fife County and Wasatch Front. Wasatch Front was going to lose almost $1 million. We were going to lose $300,000 or $350,000 to give to the other regions. And we fought that, and that may come back again.
Was that CIB or CIBs?
So Vernal could have a space program?
You know, they have another media center, which is what we call libraries.
That's cheap in his dollars.
All right, well, I don't mean to take the time. I just want to make sure that we're paying enough.
Thank you.
Well, so do you want to give me some direction? Do you want me to look at that and give you some, just send them out to you once I've got a couple of other formulas and say, here's some other options, and then at a future point, if you want to redirect us to, you know, through a agenda item to make a change, we can do that, you know, once you've looked at some scenarios.
Anyone who lives in Washington County is 20 minutes away from health services. Enterprise. But everyone else is 20 minutes. Jerry's talking about having to go hours sometimes for some of their people. That's a cost, too.
Now in 15 minutes.
All right. Well, my other commissioners would, and Eric would crown me for suggesting it, but I want to make sure we pay for it.
I was going to ask.
That's another one, crown me. That should be a positive.
Sounds like checkers.
Unless you're jacked up.
Playing chess or something.
Checkers. Unless you're jacked or crowned, yeah.
So that you become king?
Yeah.
That means you made it all the way across the board.
Yep.
To the very other side and
get crowned.
King me.
But it also means that Eric's going to crown me, like hit you.
Yeah.
He's going to turn the crown upside down and crown me.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, through the NPO, we do a lot for Washington County, for sure.
Yeah.
So Washington County, though, and Iron County do a lot for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
vice versa.
Yeah. Thank
you. A lot of moving parts. Are there any other discussion items?
I have a challenge. If this doesn't come up in May next year, that we take care of it in April, okay? That we start to get ahead of the game instead of behind the game. And if we know we have to go out to bid, let's start that months in advance if we could. Okay, we get on top of our game.
Yep.
That's just a challenge for me. Yep. to you guys. And I know I screamed and yelled at Brian the other day over it, but I don't like coming in second. I don't want to be.
Well, and on that too, let's schedule meetings before a day before.
Yes,
that would be good. Yeah.
We'll get those. So the next finance, it's on the
master sheet.
The master sheet. It will be before our steering committee meeting, and that's where the full budget of all the programs and everything.
That's cool. Because I think that sheet, I'm sure everybody else does, when we put it in our calendar.
Yeah,
that's good.
And Allison, if you have problems getting information back that you need from the state of Utah,
let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah, that's been ever since COVID, been an extreme issue, because people are still working at home and still, you know, not getting their mail. And so, yeah, so my plan this year is to physically, like on the phone or text or email, getting in touch with the people, trying to find the right person to email it to instead of mail.
Yeah, I love calling a state employee at home that they're working, and they say, and you get their, you can't talk to them, but they're asking me, says, I'm only available from 9 till 2 each day.
Yeah.
That's still the case with the CIB staff. They work from home. They've never gone back to the office. It's been,
like the insurance issues. When did you start talking with insurance people, Jen?
February.
So we started in February.
And a lot of it. Start in November.
Yeah. Pardon me?
You're probably going to have to start in November. With you to get quotes. And I'll tell you, I like your idea of not picking select help again. Okay? Put them on notice. We want the best bid.
Now.
Right at the beginning. Give us the best, because we're not going to look at. We're not going to jump back and
forth. We're not going to do the car dealership model. We want the real number.
And that's what it was. And at the midpoint,
That's where they said
at the midpoint, Select Health kept saying that our underwriters will not go below this 9%.
Oh, yeah. That's the car dealer model.
Okay.
Let me go to my manager.
They will not go below the 9%.
And then when they knew we were looking to go somewhere else, they said, we'll give you 4.9.
We were going with United. They quickly said, okay, 4.9.
And we're done.
That's not right.
It's not.
No.
And if you have to make somebody the bad guys, tell them that we're all over you guys.
That wouldn't be too much of a stretch.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a stretch.
Are we getting
But is it true?
No.
Okay. Right. Let me know when you want me to stop recording. I'm not going to put that in the minutes.
Yes, the challenge, we'll have it, and it will be ready to go. We're working on the audit, and we're the end here, too.
I
got to ask you one more thing when y'all are done.
Yeah.
What you brought up about the master sheet, and then Paul says, well, we put it all on our calendars, but that's much less efficient than if you send us Google Calendar invites for the entire year for all of the meetings, and then we just accept the invitation.
Yes. And that's great. That's a better way. Yes. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Now that
I love Google Calendar.
Now that makes sense.
Now that we have the Google Calendar, well, we can.
I've even learned how to do it. And if I can do it, anybody can.
Okay.
And with that, I'll entertain the motion.
But if it's okay on that,
I can accept it.
That rather than using the Google Meet thing, which, because they don't even have a record thing here, like that we could use Zoom for the video portion of it. So
that's totally fine.
But before you adjourn,
we are dependent on Google Calendar.
Okay. Yeah, Google Calendar is great.
Before you adjourn, I do want to state for the record that we just got our monitoring for our heat program, 100%, nothing wrong.
That's
so Fife County means the state.
Great.
Yes. So
they are the best.
The hottest down here. We did leave the you adjourned already.
Oh.
I did?
At your discretion, it says.
Oh, well, I have
Now you
want me to hit the, yes. Are we adjourned?
Yes.
We're adjourned.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned.